Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Genesis 19, turn there, please. Thank you so much, worship team. Genesis 19, I've entitled this, Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back, Genesis 19. Stand up on your feet if you're able to, reading from the New International Version tonight. Verse 1, quite a few verses of scripture. Are you ready? On your marks? Get set? Let's go. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them, shut the door behind him, and he said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who've never slept with a man. Let them bring them out. I'll bring them out to you so you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they've come under the protection of my roof. Get out of the way, they replied. Quote, this fellow came here as a foreigner. Now he wants to play the judge. Sounds like our world. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. Verse 10, but the men inside reached out, pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. Two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in this city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we're going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry, get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But the sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming dawn, the angels heard Lot saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Everybody say that. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere on the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away. That's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in great power tonight. The hearing of your people, I pray that you would take your very finger and write upon our hearts once again. We're so grateful for all that you've done this morning, what you've done all over America, bringing people to the knowledge of Christ, granting them the glorious gift of repentance. Thank you for release of supernatural power all across America, that America is coming to Christ, that an awakening is taking place. Touch us tonight that we might never be the same. And once again, may the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Turn to three or four people and say, bruh, don't look back. Bruh. Bruh, don't look back. Come on, say two, three or four. Three or four, don't look back. Don't look, don't look. Say it with me, don't look back. Say it again, don't look. Can't hear you, don't look. One more time, don't look. Don't look back. Don't look back. Does anybody know what happened in 1964 at 4 p.m. in Valdez, Alaska? And a tidal, you were there. Bill, you were actually there in Valdez at the tsunami. And you took pictures and stuff. I bet you remember it. I know you do. We've talked about it. We just crossed the 24th anniversary of when the Twin Towers fell. Do you remember where you were at when the Twin Towers fell and when you first heard about that? 2004 in Indonesia. I think we were here. We saw that. We were visiting. Is that right? Did we see that on TV? Katrina. We were visiting in 2005. I think Katrina was 2005. 2004, massive tsunami in Indonesia. 100,000+ people killed. Can you imagine if you knew the time, there would be some great tragedy, great destruction, but you had time to get away? What would you do? You'd run. You would do everything you could to run and to get yourself to safety. Is there an agreement here with that? This text, you see these two angels are on the way to Sodom to inspect the evil. They're there to inspect it. And we know they're angels because of the previous text and what took place in the text that we read. They're met by Lot, who's a leader in the city. He's clearly a part of things. He's at the gate of the city. The gate of the city, we talked about gates this morning. The gate of the city is where decisions were made. It's where the elders would gather. He's at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he sees the angels and he says, oh, fellas, come to my house. And they're like, no, we're going to spend the night in the square. And keep in mind that Abraham had rescued Lot previously. And so Lot is a significant man in the city of Sodom. And so he encourages them to come because there's evil. Lot is aware of the evil of the city and he insists, please, don't, please, you can't stay in the square. Dude, it's bad. It's bad. Anybody ever been in a very dangerous place? I remember we were in Portland, Oregon, returning a rental car. And we're driving to the airport and Siri, I'm sure, tried to kill us. That Siri's a false prophet, man. You got to watch out. But we had directions to go to the airport to return this rental car, and it brought us into the deep hood. What do you mean? I'm talking drug deals going on everywhere. Intense city. I mean, as you approached that city, which I pray has a great awakening and a great revival, and that spirit of woke is broke off of it. As you came into that city, you saw tents of people living in medians all over, and we have compassion and pray that God helps them. There's drug deals everywhere, all kinds of perversion going. I could see it. I've seen that before, so I know what it's like, and I know what it feels like, a darkness you could feel once again. So we took the exit. You remember this? Took the exit, and immediately I've got my street on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Immediately I'm like, all traffic laws don't count now. Like, I'm happy to blow a light, go through a red light, go through a stop sign. I'll go through whatever. I'm going to get away if I need to. So we're following this stupid Siri map thing, and it takes us to a dead end where it is going down. And we are standing out like a fly in a punch bowl. So, I mean, as we pull in our cute little car, Pastor Whitey's, pull up. And people were like, they're coming. I flipped a U-turn. I'm like, Pastor Karen's like, I'm scared. I'm like, shut up. We were out of there. I mean, if you knew you were entering into trouble, if you knew there was going to be an earthquake, if you knew there was going to be a terrorist attack, what would you do? This is the information that Lot has given. And he encourages these angels to come and stay at his house. There's a number of things in this text that really bother me, and I know we've got children here, so I will be very judicious in my language, even though the Bible just says it. Lots of firmly a part of the city. Genesis 13, verse 12, Abraham lived in the land of Canaan where Lot lived among the cities of the plain, where he pitched his tents near Sodom. He looked and saw it was well-watered land, and so he pitched his tents there because it just looked good. And he got closer and closer. By the time you come to this text, he's in the city. Yet the crazy thing to me is, even though he's a righteous man, the city has not been changed. He's a righteous man. He's not a dirtbag. He's a righteous believer. He's in the city, but the city is not changed. It is not affected. You know, I'm so grateful for the Brownsville revival. Great things happen there. Go to Pensacola today. It's just as broken as it was before the revival. You know, a real revival, actually, I'm not praying for a revival. A revival could be like three nights of meetings where people get touched, and we'll do that, and we'll have that. What I'm believing for is a reformation. What I'm believing for is an awakening where God's power comes so strong on a people that the laws change and people turn to God and the city is transformed. Sodom and Gomorrah is not transformed even though Lot lived there. He's at the gate. He's a part of the leadership, really, of the city, but he's not influenced the city. For outside of himself, there's no one else that's righteous. I mean, even when he comes to his sons-in-law, I have the greatest son-in-law. He is a man of God, and he honors me and Pastor Karen so wonderfully. He's constantly calling or asking questions or asking for prayer. He calls me OG. He's like, what's up, OG? I'm like, what's up? So Pastor Karen says, oh yeah, OG, that stands for old guy, right? I'm like, what? OG does not stand for old guy. OG stands for original. Amen. Old guy. So the men of Sodom, young and old, and it shows this generational defilement. Shows generational sin to me, young and old. It's not just the young people. It's not just a particular group of people. It's the men of the city, young and old. And they come to have their way with these visitors. Go to Jude chapter, there's only one chapter, Jude verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who would suffer the punishment of eternal fire. This is a primary sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. There's other sins. It's listed in the Proverbs or Psalms somewhere. They didn't take care of the widows and the orphans and the poor. It's not just the sin of perversion. It's like they didn't do what was right. Crowd's response, I paused on it. Who is this foreigner? What a homophobe. No, did I offend you? They come to try to, who is this guy that thinks he can tell us what to do? They were so mad at Charlie Kirk. Who do you think you are? He was a messenger. He carried the word. The word of God tells us what's right and what's wrong. Not your opinion, not my opinion, God's word. God's word is truth. God's word is truth, and it tells us how to live. Now, if you have something in your mind, in your heart, that's contrary to what God's word is, guess who's wrong? Not God. Now, we need to be filled with love, certainly. But they come, and it's a lot like today, but today's changing. Come on, somebody say today is changing. It's a lot like today. Who is this foreigner? Who do you think you are? Oh, holier than thou. I mean, they make fun of him. They mock him. And then they try to take him. People bound in sin don't want anyone telling them what to do. People bound in sin don't want anyone telling them what's wrong. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said this. Blessed is the obstacle who comes in the way of the man on the way to destruction. I'm so thankful for people who put their finger in my chest and told me, you're wrong. You need to change your attitude. You need to brush your teeth. You need to change the way you're behaving. I'm so grateful. Years ago, having my mama, who's online right now, standing in my apartment like an Old Testament prophet, thundering the word. Do the right thing! At a mixture of my faith. You can't have a mixture. You can't cherry pick, oh, I like this scripture, but I don't like that one. I want to fornicate, but I'm going to go to church and love God. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. I mean, you read through the scriptures, it defines what's right, it defines what's wrong. And many people are upset by the fact that they don't have favor, don't have power, don't walk in authority. And it reminds me of Cain and Abel. I made my kids memorize that scripture. Cain brought what he wanted to. Abel brought what was required. Cain brought some fruit. How many of you like fruit? Fantastic. God requires blood sacrifice. Thank God that he sent his son as the final sacrifice. But Abel brought of the first fruits, of the firstborn of the flock. He sacrificed. It was a blood sacrifice. God looked at Abel's offering with favor, and with Cain, he did not respect it. So Cain's bent. He's upset. He's mad. And God comes and talks to him and says, what is the matter? Cain, look at me, Cain. What's the matter? Why are you upset? If you do the right thing, will you not be rewarded? But if you do the wrong thing, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is to have you. It's a picture of a vicious predator crouching at the door like a lion, prowling around like a lion, tying in the New Testament. The devil is prowling around like a lion. And he said, you must master it. You do what is right, you'll be accepted. If you do what's right, you're not going to be accepted. We told our kids, memorize this, memorize it. It's not about fair, it's about righteousness. You see, a whole culture here in Sodom and Gomorrah is morally blind and broken, and our culture has been morally blinded and broken. And just because they shout the loudest doesn't mean they're right. I was in Molokai. I've told the story before. I was in Molokai, Hawaiian Islands, pastoring our church there, 2001, 2002, about a year and a half. God gave us a real revival there and raised up Pastor Robert Sahogun, who's a great pastor, a great prophetic voice, great man. And I remember there in Molokai, I was number one in suicide per capita in Hawaii, number one with food stamps and social services, number one in homosexuality per capita. It had more bondage, number one in domestic violence per capita. It's a small island. It has 5,000 people there approximately. It's been the same population for over 100 years, but there was a deep darkness that was there. I remember that. Do you remember that one night? I remember one night we were in our home, and there we are in our little house on the corner, and you could hear down 5 or 6 houses a big fight. I mean, a knockdown, drag out, screaming match. And then you heard the house next to it begin to have a screaming match. Then the house next to us is having a screaming match. And it was like this spirit of domestic violence just swept through. And literally, while we're standing there, we love each other. We didn't have domestic violence, you know, mostly. Come on. Just making sure you're paying attention. We argue, we discuss things passionately. Amen. And then we don't let the sun go down on our wrath. But we were there. Do you remember that? And it was like this wave hit our house. All of a sudden, you're like, just felt like, just suddenly got like irritated. You could feel it. You could feel this. Our culture is polluted. Our culture has been defiled. But God is raising up a voice. God is raising up those who will be a part of the city of righteousness and change the city, not like Lot. And as I said, people that are bound and broken don't want to hear. Don't get drunk anymore. Why do you think it's called spirits? Because when you get drunk, you open yourself up to spirits. I'm sure there's another reason, but that's the way I like to think of that. Quit smoking weed. It's legal here. People just can smoke weed and it's fine. Yeah, it's pharmakia. Like, you're offending me. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. You gotta get away. Just because it's voted in as legal doesn't mean it's right. We already talked about it. How do we know what's right? It's right here. Come on, if you got a Bible, hold it in your hand. Come on, Billy. Somebody said that's pretty narrow-minded. Yep, about that narrow. It's working really good for me. How's yours working for you? I know that's bold. I'm trying to shake you from false thinking. Adolf Hitler had a horrible hatred of Jews, and he propagated that Jews were Germany's problem. Not unlike many that talk about the problems of America and blame it on different people, that the media was on his side. And he defiled a whole nation with a demonic doctrine that said that Jews, he said things like Jews were useless eaters, killed over 6 million Jews. There's a spirit of Antichrist that's at work and wants to get you to believe that which is anti-Christ. It's an Antichrist spirit. You have to break agreement with that. You can't cherry pick and pick a few scriptures and then leave the other ones out. 6 million Jews. It's 125,000 people killed every month for 4 years. They were blind. They thought they were doing the world a favor. There were those that didn't agree, but you know what they didn't do? They didn't raise their voice. They didn't stand up. I read it in a book somewhere where this one man said, if all of us had band together, they wouldn't have been able to take any one of us, but we were so terrified and so isolated and afraid. They took all their guns. Don't you let anybody ever take your gun. We had a man come. Do you remember Peter Loth? How many of you remember him? It was years ago. He was 9 years old in Auschwitz. About nine, right? He grew up a number of years in Auschwitz and lived. And he came and he shared his testimony. I think he was six. And he shared his testimony about being a little boy in Auschwitz. And his whole family was killed. And we did Shabbat together. It was so powerful hearing the testimony of Peter Loth. And I remember asking him, hey, Peter. He says, yeah. I said, do you have a gun? He says, I have many guns. He said, every Jew should have a gun. I disarmed them. They isolated them and they picked them off. Right to bear arms. Russia, they say 20 million people were killed under Stalin. But that's not even accurate. It could be as much and even more than 60 million people killed by... They do not know how many people were killed by Stalin. We live in an age where we must wake up. How could a nation do that? Little by little. But I do believe, even as Charlie Kirk's organization is called Turning Point, I do believe even today it's a turning point. In spite of the angels telling Lot to hurry and leave, he hesitates. I got to go back to the, can you imagine? I mean, I was talking about my son-in-law about how what a wonderful man it is, but I mean, think about this. I mean, you've helped me in some family emergencies. I remember I called you, we had a real tragedy, and man, you jumped to it. You certainly didn't think I was kidding. Can you imagine if somebody comes up to you, they come up to you and says, get up right now, get up and get out of here right now. I mean, they thought he was joking. What is wrong? I think they were smoking weed. I think there's something wrong. I think they're somehow intoxicated that they couldn't believe his righteous father-in-law saying, dude, get up right now. The angels are here and they're going to torch the whole place. Get up. Oh, come on. Oh, Lot, whatever, bro. And they turned over. They thought he's joking. How does that even, how could that even be possible? Because if you don't break allegiance with defilement, you'll end up dull and blind. They were dull and blind and couldn't even hear the cry of their righteous father-in-law telling them, run, run with me, come with me. And they rolled over and took another hit or did whatever they did. See, Pastor, it doesn't say they smoked weed. I know. I'm just trying to tell you, something made them dull. Lot hesitates, which is to me also amazing. Hesitation is disobedience. Let me say that. Hesitation is disobedience. But God has mercy on him, takes him by the hand. Why would he hesitate? Maybe he loved his sons-in-law. Maybe there's people there that he really cared for. No doubt. Why would he hesitate? But he does. And the angels take him, his wife, and his daughters by the hand and rush them out of the city. Is there anybody glad that God's taken you by the hand and broke off the dull blindness and you didn't hesitate? And he came to Christ. I mean, that really is the picture. Because of God's mercy, they're spared. And if you go and read the rest of the text, they, instead of going to the mountains, they're able to, he pleads to go to this place called Zoar. And they go there. God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that Lot, they said, don't look back. Flee to the mountains. He pleads with them, can I just go? He's trying to work a deal. Good Jewish negotiator. Instead of the mountains, can I go to Zoar? And the angels agree. And he says, okay, run, but do not look back. Everybody say, don't look back. God is speaking to us three things out of this text tonight. The first thing, is eternal judgment is real. Eternal judgment's real. Say that. Eternal judgment is real. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 says, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made that as an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. He's saying that there's judgment coming. Please, if you don't understand that, understand it tonight. It's not all good. It's not all good. God came, was crucified and rose again so that you could escape judgment. He was the propitiation of our sin. What does that mean? That means he took the wrath that was headed for you. You deserve death. So do I. So does every single human being. And you must be awakened to the reality of eternal judgment. There is a hell. Somebody said, are you a hellfire church? Is there any other kind of real church? You must hear messages like this to be awakened to the fact that you're smoking weed, you're getting drunk, you're fornicating is not going to be winked at on the day. Pretty intense tonight. Man, it's intense. Maybe I can shake you free from your stupidity. I'm not looking at anybody. God will judge the nations and cities, not just of their evil deeds, by what they've been given. Look at this, Matthew 25, New Testament now, Matthew 25, verse 41. And he'll say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did many other things. He spoke a lot about hell. Revelation 20 and verse 15, anyone whose name not found written in the book of life is thrown in the lake of fire. Every generation, God will raise up a witness like Charlie Kirk, maybe like you. I hope like me. That's what I want to be. I want to be a burning, shining lamp. I'm going to be filled with courage. And if it means death, so be it. I don't desire that. I know one day I'm going to die, but there's worse things than death, to quote RFK Jr. You know what worse is death? Hell is worse than death. This is life, and one day it will end, and where you go is determined by the decision you make for or against Jesus. The only sin that God cannot forgive you of is by not receiving his son as a payment for your sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't receive Jesus, he can't forgive you for not receiving. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. Apart from him, there is no life. Matthew 11, turn there with me. God's raising up a generation that'll witness. I'm challenging you to don't be like Lot and let our city just fade away into destruction. And there's many believers in Wasilla and Palmer and Houston and the surrounding area in Alaska. I think most of our state is saved. We need to work on Juneau for sure. Some other places, no doubt. But it's easy to point the finger at others. How about you? Revival starts in your heart. Revival starts in your family, in your home. Matthew 11, verse 23. You, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No. You'll go down to Hades. Wow. For if the miracles were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Capernaum is where Jesus set up his base of operations. He said, well, some say our nation's not as bad as others. There's other nations that are worse. Maybe. But we've been entrusted with a lot more. Matthew 10, turn there. Matthew 10, verse 14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. You know, in the gospel, as Dr. Morocco said, in the gospel is both blessing and cursing. Hear me. When the good news is shared, which I'm sharing to you right now, you can accept it and receive blessing. If you reject it, then it's a cursing. Both blessing, there's healing and cursing in the gospel. You're given a choice. There's no excuse. If you come to this church, you have no excuse. Every guest I have that comes, all the staff that preach, every time I preach, I give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. This is not some little patty cake show where we just sort of, ease our conscience. No, it is real. Jesus is real. Your life is real. Your life matters. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. You must be born again. My sense is that perhaps even in this house, in this great house of worship, is that many people believe and they think that that's enough. The Bible says in the book of James that even the demons believe and tremble. So a biblical believing is a receiving. It's repenting. It's changing your life. And yet so many want to hold on to that drink or hold on to that relationship that's illicit or do that thing in the dark. The level of Christianity that you're walking in, level of maturity you have, is what you do in the dark when no one will catch you. Lift your hands to heaven and say, don't look back. Don't look back. We can escape. We can escape the wrath. There's a way for you. I've been declaring and preaching it, and every time you come, you'll hear it. No matter what I preach, I'll always sow that in. There's an escaping of a wicked generation. God's inviting you to escape. You got to give your life to Jesus. But my sense is that some of you have one foot in it and one foot in the kingdom. That's a hard way to live, and you won't experience the full blessing of God. You've got to submerse. You've got to surrender. Full surrender. My brother John gave me a book called Full Surrender. Are you fully surrendered? You know, God has done so much for me and my family that I am absolutely 100% confident. I am fully persuaded that there's not one thing we can't make it through. And that's not based on arrogance. That's based on multiple difficulties, death, challenges, sorrow, grief, rejection. We've walked through it. We'll have to walk through some things in the future. But we know this, that God will never leave us or forsake. You can leave him. We're not going to. He'll never leave you. When you give your life to Jesus, don't look back. Don't look back. Only God's intervention can save us. Don't hesitate to receive Jesus. Don't hesitate to do the right thing. Do the right thing. If people don't like you for it, it doesn't matter. There are only two or three people that like you anyway, statistically. I don't know if that's true, but I like the way it sounds, because we're not living for you. We're living for Him. You're living for God. You're supposed to live for God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. And if you live that way, He'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. Don't look back. Don't hesitate to go full send. Come on, all the Gen Zers, millennials, say full send. Full send. Go all the way for God. Get in the Word, read the Word, devour the Word, share the Word. Come to church. Cut off the illicit things in your life. Deal with things that have been destroying you. Put away those things that you know you need to put away. Get healed. Come on, someone say, I'm not going to look back. And you can't come out of this text without saying, man, we pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for others. We need to intercede. Jesus said to his disciples, say not 4 more months, but the fields are white with harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the gospel. The fields are white with harvest. Harvest is souls. It's not wheat. Of course, that's a harvest too. Harvest of potatoes, maybe. Some of you are harvesting your potatoes, about to harvest a cow. We have hunters out there harvesting animals. There's a harvest of souls. How will they come in? How is that harvest going to come in? He's going to send out hunters. That's you. He's going to send us out. He's going to send people out. And the correlation of those that are sent is released based upon the prayer. Minister Heidi, so proud of you. Just got back from Washington, D.C. She's a state representative for the National Day of Prayer. And she reported that there's unity across denominational lines for America like never before. We've sensed that. We feel that. You know, we have a prayer meeting 7 days a week. We need to up that. Come on, Minister Heidi. We're going to increase that. We're going to pray. And as we pray, God's going to raise up people like you to go into the highways and byways and compel people to come in. Why? Because eternal judgment is forever. And Jesus has made a way for you and for me. And we must share the good news. Not be like Lot, who didn't impact his city. We're going to impact our city. There is coming a day of judgment for you and me as a believer. Judgment seat of the wicked. There's coming judgment to the wicked. There's a judgment for the believer. There's a judgment for the nation. There's 5 different judgments. You can read the book of Revelation. It's coming to everyone. You've been given, I've been given, we have been given 1 moment in time. A brief moment. It's called a vapor. Just a brief moment to do something for God. Don't look back. Don't hesitate. Live for God. Pray for your loved ones and watch God pour out His Spirit. Can someone say hallelujah? Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence, your power. Holy Spirit, come. Tonight, I'm going to give an unusual altar call before we get to the main altar call, which is giving you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. I'm going to give an altar call if you want to be set free. You have some sort of perversion, maybe. You say, I don't want to be embarrassed. Well, then maybe you're not done yet. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Oftentimes, what I'll do is I'll throw this in. Or maybe you want to stand in for somebody else. If you have a drug addiction, you want to get set free. You want to get set free from something that's binding you. Anything. Pastor Karen, for years, struggled with self-worth. Horrible sense of self-loathing. It was a bondage that has been broken off of you. It tormented you daily. She almost felt like she had to apologize for being in the room. You might have that. That's not God. God wants to set you free from whatever you're in bondage to. You know, Jesus never castigated anybody that had demons, had never castigated any, didn't come down a hammer on that prostitute, make fun of her. He didn't do any of that. He just set her free. If you have something you need to be set free from, and you really want to get rid of it tonight, listen, it only might be one person. I remember coming into church. I'd had a very difficult Saturday night before I met Pastor Karen. All I knew, I had been up all night, and all I knew is if I could get to the church, if I could get to King's, I was going to live. I raced there in my 1969 Pontiac Le Mans, blowing every light. I don't know how I didn't get pulled over. Came into the driveway, came into the parking lot of the church, a four-way drift into a parking spot. Came running in board shorts and a t-shirt. Worship was just about over, and all I knew is if I could get to that altar, I was going to live. This is my testimony, and I have lots of stories like this. In a dead sprint from the back of the church as I was running in, ran all the way to the front. And I don't know if I dove or I tripped. I can't remember, but I ended up head first skidding into the altar, weeping God's power on me. I'll never forget Dr. Morocco looking down at me. He says, "Oh, Daniel, you're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit." And I just said, "I want to be set free." He laid hands on me. I have many stories like that. If you allow the opinions of people next to you to hold you back from what you need, you'll never be free. You need to be free from the opinions of the people sitting next to you. Don't let the fear of man grip you. Get free. Get free from religion. Get free from tradition. Get free from weed. Get free from alcohol. Get free from pornography. Get free from the fear of man. Get free from self-loathing and self-hatred. Get free. God's plan for you is to get free.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.